My path towards liberal religion began when I was 5 or 6 years old, when a well-meaning Sunday school teacher showed me a picture of God. And he was sitting on a gilded throne up on a cloud, and for some reason the throne didn't fall right through the cloud, and he looked pretty mad about something. And that path towards liberal religion was later confirmed. In sixth grade science class, the minute I saw the stunning similarity between the insides of frogs and people. Later on, I found the words and deeds of prophetic women and men in literature and history books and in poems and world scripture that gave me reason enough to feel honored to be alive, no matter what else might be going on. Words that I borrow from Kurt Vonnegut. But I was never convinced of anything new. My real discoveries were recognizing that I had been a religious liberal all along, and it just took a little while to figure that out. Owning my religious liberal nature has solved a lot of problems for me. And that brings us to the third word in our topic, the witness part of liberal religious witness. We normally think of witness as deeds, not creeds. Deeds meaning action for ethical living, economic and social equality, for workplace democracy and responsible investing, and for saving the planet. But there's another part of witness that we often overlook in UU circles, and that's about how to talk about what Unitarian Universalism means to us, and how to articulate what we believe, and how to initiate those respectful conversations. In the past, I have been averse to advertising what I believe, because like many of you, I don't like being targeted by strong-arm evangelism. Yet, as spiritual beings who have found religious sanctuary, to become more comfortable articulating our liberal religious witness is something we might well do. And there are two reasons for that. First, we need to learn to be able to refute the joke, which amounts to the charge that we UUs don't really believe anything. I often laugh at the joke because when somebody tells it right, it's funny. But I follow up that laugh with the clarification that we UUs do believe certain specific things, and those things appear on the back of the bulletin here at UUCF every week. And I'm glad we put them on the back of the bulletin, because my first day here, those two lists helped me identify in every step of the way. Principles 1 and 2 on inherent dignity and justice, equity, and compassion, those are things that pretty much any conservative religion could ascribe to. But 3 through 7, principles 3 through 7, like right of conscience or independent web of existence, those are hallmarks of a liberal religion that invests authority in reason and experience. So we really do believe certain things, and we need to make sure that's clear. Second, we need to be able to articulate what we stand for individually and collectively, because there's a lot of people sitting out there this Sunday morning in evangelical and even fundamentalist pews. And they sit there week after month after year in quiet desperation because they think they're the only ones who, during a literalist sermon, feel the urge to utter the heretical word, really? Unitarian Universalism can speak to those people, and we owe it to them to let them know we're here. And we owe them the tools and the environment for developing answers that work for them. In Unitarian Universalism, we do celebrate our questions, but developing some personal answers that relieve the existential angst cannot be a bad thing. So when you and I covenant together as religious liberals, We assume a responsibility to affirm and promote liberal religion for those to whom it speaks. We would do this in a manner of attraction and not promotion, but we would still do it. You are accustomed to thinking of liberal religious witness as what we do, not what we say. But for the next few minutes, we will look at examples of how we can tell our stories to other people, how we can verbally communicate in an attractive, non-promotional way what Unitarian Universalism is and how it speaks to our own personal experience of the human condition. For religious liberals, perhaps the most obvious distinction between attraction and promotion is contrasting a soft sell approach with the onerous fundamentalist witness that many of us disdain. But we liberals do have our own subtle ways of being off-putting. The opposite of liberal is not conservative, but fundamentalist. In a word, intolerant. Focusing on my intolerant adversary doesn't do me any good. All it really does is make me angry. What I need to recognize is that a liberal intolerance within myself makes me obnoxious, is self-destructive, and harms my relationships. I can ignore the conservative fundamentalist, but I carry myself with me everywhere I go. So when I feel an anti-Trinitarian pride, I need to ask, is this spiritual or intellectual pride? What useful social justice relationships and partnerships with mainline religious people and even conservatives might I be short-circuiting by focusing on differences rather than commonalities? And when I feel an anti-Trinitarian snicker coming on, especially in an open meeting like morning worship, might I be making a visitor who hasn't made up his or her mind yet about us feel unwelcome? I hope I always remember how I felt in an evangelical sanctuary, wondering if I was the only one who didn't belong there. And may I never make anyone else feel like that in here. You shift into the positive aspect, to the conversations we can have with people who don't yet know about liberal religion. And believe me, there are those. I was one for 40 years. Many folks think it's hard to get people to talk about religion, but it's not. Frankly, I'm amazed at how receptive people are to talking about religion if I just crack the door open a little bit. All you really have to do is just refer obliquely to religion, and many people are going to walk right on into the conversational room with you. What we need is not so much techniques to get these conversations started, but the confidence to start them. And that confidence comes from working together to understand our own personal theologies so we can articulate clearly when the time comes. But first, I need to have my own deliberative theology. A deliberative theology is a personal philosophy of life that we've deliberated on, something we've thought about to replace the embedded theology that we grew up with. My own deliberative theology, which continues to evolve, developed through reading and reflection with other people in small groups. Eventually, feedback from other people helped me to construct a concept of ultimate reality that resonates with my own religious, scientific, and philosophical experience. And it's a reality that transcends my previous theistic beliefs. And we UUs already have the perfect environment for doing theology together. We are a thinking people. We love to talk. And we're diverse, but we exclude no one, so long as you act respectfully. In most churches, it's a matter of keep your doubts to yourself. Just say the creed, and that's good enough. Don't make waves. For us, theological quandary is not personal. The theological quandary is institutional. Individual UUs are at perfect liberty to search for truth and meaning and find answers for themselves. But we leave theological questions open at the institutional level. One might say, theology is theory and religion is the practice. Why bother with theology? because when people have no theory, they have nothing to guide their practice. In 2005, a UUA study titled Engaging Our Theological Diversity suggested some good reasons for UU members to share about theology together. And perhaps the best reason was given by born-in adults who said that sharing about their most cherished beliefs in youth groups had been one of the main things they missed when they transitioned to the adult community. Other reasons given in the study were that sharing about theology transforms acquaintances into true friends. It engenders mutual respect and love that makes tolerance seem rather neutral. It gives the searcher self-understanding, and it gives us all the chance to manifest our third and fourth principles: acceptance of each other, encouragement to spiritual growth, and free and independent search for truth and meaning. One way to do theology deliberately is to form small groups that use a question-answer discussion format. The idea is to answer these questions privately first and then discuss them in a safe, mutually accepting group. And here are some of the questions posed by the 2005 study, and I will read some of them for your consideration just to see what deliberative theology, what doing that together might be like. And I'd like to do this meditatively, so I'm going to go slow and give you some time to mull each of the questions over and think about them with reference to yourself and to this congregation. First question: what do you think holds this congregation together? What do we have in common that makes us a community? Is there a religious practice or a ritual that you think many members of this congregation value? What three words would you use to describe your own religious beliefs? And how would this congregation be better if we all suddenly magically started believing the same? What problems would go away? On the other hand, how would our congregation be worse off than it was when our diversity was intact? What good things would we lose, and what new problems might arise? And finally, what features of Unitarian Universalism, if they were taken away, would leave something that is no longer Unitarian Universalism? Coming back to this room, to have these conversations with other people, we need to be able to describe not only what we believe, but also what UUs are. And that's where our elevator talk comes in. One of the most succinct definitions of Unitarian Universalism that I've found is on the Islamic Society of North America's Interfaith Partners page. And the UUA is an interfaith partner to the ISNA. And on that page, it says, Unitarian Universalism is a liberal religion with Jewish Christian roots. It has no creed and affirms the worth of human beings, advocates freedom of belief and the search for advancing truth, and tries to provide a warm, open, supportive community for people who believe that ethical living is the supreme witness of religion. That's pretty good. But our self-definition doesn't have to be as pat in conversation as a quote from the web. The most genuine conversation can be a natural blend of that, of what binds UUs together, along with the telling of what faith means to me personally. For example, the other day, a Christian who knows I'm a UU asked me what UUs believe. And it was put that way: what do you believe? So I answered, using that language, drawing from my elevator speech, I told her, we're a liberal religion that includes followers, but generally not worshipers of Jesus, along with Buddhists, atheists, agnostics, pagans, and a slew of other isms, and that we have no creed, but we covenant together to work for justice, equity, and compassion, personal worth and dignity, and a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Now, this elicited the question from her, well, why would atheists and agnostics want to go to church? And for this, I drew from my own deliberative theology. If theology, it's about the definitions, if theology can mean my philosophy of life, and if religion is what we do religiously, then atheists and agnostics obviously need religious community just as much as anybody else. And our brief conversation left us both with food for thought, both about what UUs are, and also about how she or someone she knows might identify with us. Because when you're doing liberal religious witness, a lot of times the person you're witnessing to isn't the one you're talking to, but the one that they're thinking of and that they're going to go have the next conversation with. The important thing about these conversations is that it's not strong-arm witnessing. A while back, I happened to be in a coffee shop where one of our members just happened to sit down at the next table for a conversation with someone who was just interested in Unitarian Universalism. And our member started out by listening, and he listened for quite some time. When the newcomer expressed difficulties with literalist Christianity and the problem of evil, our member showed how Unitarian Universalism handles such questions and then just left the door open for the newcomer to draw his own conclusions. As I eavesdropped that day unabashedly, I saw an excellent demonstration of no pressure, liberal religious witness of the conversational variety. On the other hand, a few days ago, a person I was working with referred a couple of times to God being in charge. So I just said, "What church do you go to?" She replied haltingly that she doesn't go right now. She was raised Presbyterian, but she hadn't been getting fed there, she said, and she wants something with more feeling, something to keep her awake. I asked her thoughts about the resurrection, and she said she doesn't believe in that. And this all indicated to me that she's not ripe for Unitarian Universalism yet. So I suggested checking out beliefomatic.com, and looking beyond Presbyterianism to find a place where she might really get fed. The point is, we're not out to proselytize. If someone wouldn't fit in here, they're still a human being, so we still owe them a nudge toward a place where they will be served, whether that happens to match our own theology or not. So what can we do with all this? In my own deliberative theology, I swiped my central thesis, once again, from Kurt Vonnegut, who in his capstone novel wrote that the meaning of life is, quote, to help each other through this thing, whatever it is. To help each other through this thing. The three of the words that describe my own higher power are love, service, and communication. Loving, serving, and communicating are verbs, not nouns. At the bottom line, my embedded theology is how I express my beliefs in the things I do. But what I do directly involves the people that I meet and relate to and talk to. Those of us who view life and the inevitability of death from a liberal religious perspective owe it to others like us to stick together and help each other through this thing, whatever it is. This calls to mind my wife's dad, who started attending a little country church, Rose of Sharon Baptist Church, in his last few years. When my wife asked him if he was a Christian now, he chuckled and said, "No, I haven't done anything like that, sweetie." "Then why do you go to church?" she asked him. He just smiled back and said, "I just like being there." Those Baptists at Rose of Sharon were helping him get through this thing, whatever it is. May we go now and do likewise.
to share one final thought on our liberal religious witness. I think working out your deliberative theology, reflecting on your embedded theology, thinking about UU history, all of that is vitally important. But the one piece of advice I'd give you is if you find yourself facing that question, you know, what is Unitarian Universalism? What do UUs believe? Or any of that, and your elevator speech just goes flying out of your mind, that carefully honed, prepared, you know, 50-word answer, then just know that what you won't forget is your experience. You can always share that, and it might be way more helpful. It might be the most helpful thing you can share. So that if someone's asking about Unitarian Universalism or you stumble back into that, just share your story. Start there, and then it might well evolve into some of these other things. But just share your experience of how you got here and what is meaningful to you and supportive to you. So as you continue your journey through this world, continue with love. Care for one another and care for this one earth. Do justice and make peace. And as you go, whatever taste or touch you've had in this time and place of hope, of love, of peace, of joy, that goes with you out into the world. We're different for having spent this time together. So live boldly and with thanksgiving. Go in peace.